The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on Monday morning.
The 23rd.
March the 23rd. It is 7:06 in the morning. Good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Yes, this chat room is already loading up. We have guest and
good
Angel
morning,
and
everyone.
Sunny. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Did you get enough rain yesterday?
Well, it was certainly a lot in a little bit of time.
It is.
And how about those thunderstorms? That was like we were in Midwest.
About this time of year, because of things like the topography and the heat, ground heating up, and then cold air hits it. Yes, we do get a lot of convection, and that's what makes those nifty little thunderstorms that move very rapidly.
I'm not sure in the years that I've been up in Redding that I recall the crash and the banging that went on yesterday. It seemed like it was pretty, like a 45-minute period of time.
It was a fair-sized cell. And, of course, if you recall, it was 2008 when we had a very massive thunderstorm, and that was the year it sparked over 1,000 wildland fires. And
That was a dry thunderstorm.
And chance for things to dry out, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I thought there was no rain associated with that.
Very, very little rain.
Yeah, we were out of town. Just happened to be just that
week. We came back in the middle of the
storm. We came back in the fires. That was just strange.
The thing about yesterday was that we had that one crack of lightning. It sounded like it hit next door.
Right.
Enough that it lifted Elk Killer up off the ground like 2 feet and you 3 feet. So, okay. Hey, look, speaking of weather, what do we have?
Well, it's currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have a high of 61 today. Of course, scattered showers throughout the day and this evening as well with a higher chance of rain tonight. Our lows will be around where we are right now, 49, and tomorrow looks like we have a 64 and slight chance of showers tomorrow night. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
That's right. I've just had a guest has been writing to me on the chat room.
Did he come in as guest?
He said, yeah, he came in as guest. He says, my long-range prediction is that the Sacramento Bee North State Edition would become the Redding and Chico's newspaper. But then there was a great...
Really? There's going to be
not
a Sacramento...
Not the first time the obit has been written for the Redding
newspaper. No, that's right. And there was a good... There was a very good editorial written by the Record Search. Well, they printed it from somebody else out of Chicago. But it was about how a lot of younger people and, of course, you know, some older people really like the idea of books and newspapers. That, you know, they're not into the, you know, they're not into the iPhones or pads.
Well, Kindles
or
and such.
Yeah, and that. Right. And they said it's kind of like Skyping your family. It's like, okay, that's nice, but it's better to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, holding on to the books. I found that interesting because I do. I like holding a book. I like holding a newspaper. I like getting that black ink all over my fingers.
We both feel the same way. We like the sound of it, the smell of it. But we recently were talking about how when you're watching the older movies, well, not too long ago, how the paper has lost probably 2 or 3 inches in width. And, now it's just, it doesn't seem, I don't know, it's changed as far as just really scaling down. But you were saying to my parents, we were actually visiting my folks in Sacramento, speaking of the Sacramento Bee, over the weekend and looking at their paper. But you were saying that what really is keeping the papers alive, besides the small percentage that still want to read newspapers, is the fact that
advertising.
Well, that's people want to see things in print.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
You know, that's where, you know, and in fact, until they can figure out how to get the advertising into the online editions like that, you're going to have newspapers because Thursdays they come up with a lot of – what did I just burp?
What?
Did you hear that?
I don't know.
There was an odd noise.
There's an odd –
again, there's always odd noises in this place.
It's those fish oil vitamins. It's damn coffee that Bob makes in the morning. I mean, I tell you what, it just about rots your – you know, as I'm swallowing it, I know it hurts.
That's just a perfect – we want to hear that on
it's
a Monday
not
morning.
It's not like marine coffee that you have to – you know, you could float a 45 on, you know, but it's still pretty harsh. Okay. Hey, look, a couple other things are happening. We're gonna have Gary Catt on this morning at 7:30 because Gary was, named specifically in his wife with, under this, pilot lawsuit and how his wife is a member of one of the lawsuit members. And the fact that Gary says, well, you know, frankly, forgot that his wife was a member of that.
Named in the suit.
Hmm?
She's going to be named in the suit as a plaintiff?
No, she was one of the – yeah, I think that was it. It was a plaintiff on that. He's going to come in and talk about that. And then we've got a young man named Dr. Taylor Adams. This is going to be interesting. Here's a young man that's graduated from medical school. He's doing his residency right here in Reading at one of the hospitals. And he's got a $500,000-plus debt. That
half
he owns
a million
for
bucks.
Medical school, huh?
Half a million bucks,
and his salary doesn't pay the interest on it every year.
Oh my gosh!
And you wonder why some doctors don't go into certain types of medicine.
So we're creating indentured servants in
the
medical profession, carving out people's carcasses.
Yeah, to the government. Now the government can forgive this if he does certain jobs. So you know, here it is that all of a sudden now we've got all these people owing money, all these students. We're talking trillions of dollars here. And, you know, so here's this, you know, the fear that the Obama, the last thing he does is an executive order is, hey, let's just forgive all those school loans.
Ayn Rand would be so proud.
Well,
speaking of what you were just talking about before we take our break, we were talking about, you know, medical care. I'm going back into something that was very interesting about, you know, how some people will send you things in emails that will talk about, you know, in the year of, well, in 1910, which was, you know, not too long ago, you know, over 100 years.
Well,
but
that's 100 years ago. That's,
I know, but when you think about what's happened in 100 years, it's not as if we're talking 1400. So the average life expectancy for men was 47 years old. Only 14% of the homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of the homes had a telephone. There were only 8,000 cars and only 144 miles of paved roads. The maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles per hour. The tallest structure in the world was the Eiffel Tower. The average U.S. wage in 1910 was 22 cents per hour. The average U.S. worker made between $200 and $400 a year. Now, this is what I wanted to talk about with docs. A competent accountant could expect to earn $2,000 per year, a dentist $2,500 per year, a veterinarian between $1,500 and $4,000 per year, and a mechanical engineer about $5,000 per year. More than 95% of all births took place at home. 90% of all physicians had no college education. Instead, they attended a so-called medical school, many of which were condemned in the press and government as substandard.
Maybe that's why the average age for a man when he died was 47. And 95% of the births were at home. Okay. Hey, you know, one of the things.
The five leading causes of death were pneumonia and influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, and heart disease.
I'm not even going to touch that. Heart disease was down at the bottom, though. See, so
Stroke was number five.
They've cured mostly diarrhea and those others. That just brings heart disease back up. So, it's Monday. what a way to start Monday.
I wanted to tell you about the physicians back then.
Well, I didn't know we were going to the diseases, though.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Something for you to know.
Most of the physicians didn't even go to medical school. Isn't that interesting?
Right.
They kind of like trained alongside another physician.
The house doctors, yeah, you know, when you like think that, about the docs that came to the house and, yeah.
Hey, you know something else, too? How'd you sleep last night?
Oh, wonderful. I could.
You know, here's the thing. I love your parents. I love your parents. You know, I love visiting them. We have a great time.
But they don't have a sleep number.
You know what? Their bed, is, you know, I'm, frankly, I'm going to buy them a sleep number bed. You know, my sleep number for us, because they're not going to sleep in it. You know, my sleep number setting is 45, and Linda's sleep number setting is 40. That's because we have the dual air technology. Mm-hmm. We can go different side. And now with the new other technology they have, the Sleep IQ technology, which is available, you can even work out. You know what you can do is that this technology tells you, gives you ideas. Hey, you might want to change your sleep number setting to maybe a 50 or a 35. You know, the only thing you have to do is sleep to get that information. The other thing, too, is they've got with the dual type adjustable beds, they also could do this, is that you if you're snoring, which you don't, but if you did, I could just reach out with my little remote and just move your bed up or down and stop your snoring. This is great. And right now, these beds are on sale, sweetheart. Down at you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed, rated number one by Consumer Reports. And you know what? Frankly, why wouldn't you want to buy a bed made in America? It's rated number one by Consumer Reports. Has got guarantees. People have used them for decades, and they love these beds. And you love this bed.
I do love this bed.
And it's located in the Target Shopping Center over there by the Vitamin Shop. Go down and see Brian and Janice and ask them, how do I get a good night's sleep? How can I get a good night's sleep for like pennies a day? How much is a good night's sleep worth? Well, for me, it's worth a lot because we go so hard, so fast, and we get up so early. And that's why we love our Sleep Number bed. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bach.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. It could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSync. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, April 2nd in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. You'll hear Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and special guest Joe Larson on trombone. Oh yeah, and me, Linda Bott, on vocals. Join us as we swing to some of the best music from the American Songbook, 7 to 9 p.m., April 2nd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Really good music.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. Wow. Shasta Regional is also people. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change their lives. And that's what Shasta Regional Medical Center does. They're really, really good people down there. In fact, if anything happens to me, I want to be taken there. And if sometimes I just drive by and wave. Shasta, you know, Regional Medical Center. Okay. Hey, you know, we've got a star in town here.
Malia Matthews got a perfect score, which means that she, I guess you take four tests. And if those
what was this?
36.
What was her perfect test on, though?
She scored 2,330 out of a possible 2,400 points. It was the first time taking the test. She practiced online with questions for about a week. And her each test is scored on a scale from 1 to 36, and a student's composite score is the average of the four test scores.
That's right, and for her ACT. She
ACT.
Is, that's right, to go off to college. Then she's going to take her SAT. But this kind of score is just unheard of. And she's a junior. And when you listen to what she says, I'm in class. I don't sit there and look at my iPhone. I don't look at, you know, I don't doodle. I do my homework. I do this. I do that. That's why I don't have, that's why I'm not doing homework till midnight. And she says, I keep busy. I keep working at it.
That's great.
And then when you ask her what she wants to do, I want to be in science. I want to do science.
She's going to be doing the Science Bowl trip.
Yeah. She says, I want to cure cancer. You know what? I love that.
Right.
I love it when somebody, you know, is like this, you know, that just says, I'm going to be the best.
Really, really excited about, you know, it's just nice to see that the North State is growing brains like this. She's leaning towards Brown right now. She said more of the East Coast colleges is what she's leaning towards. But just I think that's a huge accomplishment and one to for all of us to congratulate her, Malia and her family. The
That's
Matthews.
Right.
Congratulations.
Hey. Hey, Operation Choke Point has been hitting the news. We talked about it a while ago, but we're going to bring it back up again because it looks like it's finally getting the attention it needs. Operation Choke Point is a government is picking the businesses it wants to cut off funding to. That's right. They had, when they first started this, they named 20 businesses or so that they wanted to cut off. Now, who are some of these? According to the FDIC, which would do is would put pressure on banks and say, hey, look, these are businesses that are illegal and you need to cut off their funding and you've got to make it hard for them. Well, listen to the businesses they wanted to cut off. Ammunition sales, coin dealers, credit repair, dating services, debt consolidation, scams. Okay, scams. Anything that has scams on it, you probably want to say, okay. Fireworks sales. Pornography, pharmaceutical sales, firearm sales, online gambling, mailing list, lottery sales, lifetime memberships, telemarketing, travel clubs, tobacco sales, racist materials, surveillance equipment. Oh, let me see what else. Get Rich Products, Consumer Report. I already said that. Did I say dating? Dating services. And drug paraphernalia, all these. Now, what they did was they went and put pressure on the banks and said, hey, look, if you're loaning money to these or these people are running money through you, we're going to start really checking your books, and we're going to just, like, do everything we can to make you bad, to make your life hard. Well, and then some people are saying, well, wait a minute. Payday loans is illegal. Well, it is if its interest rates are too high. Okay, but what about others? What about ammunition sales that's illegal? What about firearm sales that is illegal? It's not. These are businesses targeted by the Obama administration. They want to put out of business. They can't get them through legislation. So they're doing it like this, through this this choke point thing. And, okay, and you think, oh, that's, you know, okay, choke point. But what about the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. You know, deal with the trying to ban the bullets. And by the way, the director of the ATF stepped down this week. Yeah, he stepped down, said, "Hey, I'm going to look at some newer. I've got some great business opportunities out here with the believe it or not, the NFL, the National Football League. So they're, you know, so both Democrats and Republicans are saying, you know what, we need to get some new leadership in here." So this is another thing. All these things are happening. And then now a congressman out of Idaho says, "Hey, look, I want to defund this this whole thing. I want to defund choke point." Good idea.
All right, my turn?
You just
give me a directive?
I just said, you know, if you have something to say. If you don't, let me go on here instead of you just picking
I'm looking at you. I'm listening to you.
And then I went like this.
And then I gave you the sign
you told me to say, here's the sign.
Well,
never mind.
No, Cruz is announcing today that he is going to be the first to throw his hat in the ring for the Republican, you know, presidency. And also, I guess then we've got Rand Paul coming up.
Rand Paul's talking about it. There's a lot of people talking about it. Governor Brown has already said that Ted Cruz is unqualified to be president.
You know, he's going to be launching an ad in Spanish.
Like Barack Obama was.
Well, he got in twice. I say that after
8 years. I mean, yeah, obviously he was qualified in some people's
minds. He got in twice.
51%. 51% thought he was good enough.
You vote with your feet, so you show up, and obviously he somehow, the American people, whoever voted, wanted him in for two terms.
I know you don't like Cruz very much.
Why
don't you like Cruz? Just because he was, I know you, but you've talked about it, and you said that you just kind of like the way he was talking. You weren't just really, really hot on him, as opposed to Rand Paul.
I am still exploring the possibilities of their policies, and I go a lot by how I shouldn't do that, but I was right. I've been right in most of my my assumptions or my feelings by how I look at someone and how they treat people and their character, and that's important to me as far as the leader of our country. So we'll see.
Well, that's good. You know what? I hope other
I like Rand Paul. I think he's a little. I think he might be actually a little heady for America. Is that terrible for me to say?
Well, I never. Some people would argue with you about.
Well, that. I just think that you know, he might have to break his vocabulary down a little bit for the average American.
He went to a predominantly black university the other day and spoke and just got a standing
ovation
there. They're just good. You know, like his father, Ron Paul, who appealed to many young people. I mean, he had 6,000 people down at Chico, and people from here, 20, 30 guys heading over there to listen to him. Now, last thing before we take a break, you know, remember, okay, I was telling Linda about this Race Together thing with Starbucks. And I went down to a start. We stopped at her. I'm telling her about this. She goes, "Are you kidding me?"
I see it right here.
Okay, so see, I'm not kidding. So what's happened is the Starbucks has pulled off the Race Together, writing it on the cups. And they said, no. This was always meant to be. We're only going to do it for a week. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when you stop in the Red Bluff, say, hey, let's talk about Race Together. And they all just look at you.
Right. And Carl was trying to make a point.
They just look at you, don't you?
Well, let's just go in there because they're supposed to be training their servers to be able to discuss this with you. Yeah. I said, "You're kidding me."
I just want a freaking cup of coffee.
Yeah, so I go in and I say,
really?
"Well, hey, let's talk about race relations." And this girl looks at me. She goes, "What?" I said,
"I'm sorry, we don't serve that here."
Isn't it Starbucks? Aren't you all supposed to be talking about race relations? She goes, "I don't know." I suppose Starbucks kind of like, you know, spread knowledge. She goes, "Well, they are letting us, you know, they are letting us show our tattoos."
That's what she said.
And I said, you know, she was a bright young, I mean, she was a nice girl.
Yes.
She's a good server. And it was a good barista. And I just went, okay, so obviously it hasn't made it to Red Bluff, California yet.
What corporate pinhead thought that this was a great
idea? Their CEO goes, okay, we're going to pull back a little bit from this. you know, well, no, but that was always the plan. You know, you know what? It's just
back.
You know what? It was just everybody. They were the butt of jokes. I mean, people just, I mean, just blah, 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 you know, on this. And then, can you imagine? Can you imagine going in? Oh, I'll have a latte. And she'll say, so, how about that Selma movie?
Boy, if you could harness that spin for energy, you'd reduce dependence on oil for a century.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Hey, look, we got to take a break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, Joe and Shelley have just a stupendous place there. Espresso Joe's, where nobody's going to talk to you about race relations, probably. They may tell you to put a shirt on, or you can't come in there without shoes. But, you know, all you get there is coffee, and great coffee at that at super prices. So, I mean, you know, it kind of sounds like the place to go to. And then you walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California, right there at Tobacco and Brew, with a walk-in humidor that's just stocked full of cigar aficionado cigars.
They're high-ranking
cigars.
And you smoked a couple cigars this weekend with Dad and brother.
Yeah. You know,
enjoyed?
I think we had the 80s. We were in the 80s in that. One of them I was bending over choking. And anyway, veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. We'll be right back after these messages. I finally got a smile out of Bob this morning. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This weekend, you'll find answers for all your spring home improvement projects at the original Home and Garden Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, featuring local businesses and the latest in design and technology with exclusive home show only discounts. Speak to local experts on hand to answer all your questions. Stop by the Saturday barbecue competition, have a free key made at the Carroll's Lock and Key booth, and the first 1,000 people each day receive a free plant compliments of Orchard Supply Hardware. This weekend at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. With your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. And now through March 31st, save 50% on all sunglass frames. See our store for complete details. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt. Good morning. It's Monday.
7:34 in the morning, currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios of KCNR 1460.
Yeah, our guest is Gary Cadd. Gary,
good morning.
Gary, there's something in the paper or something that came up with concerning you and this lawsuit with Pilot.
Yes, well, what happened was that back in 2010, Walt McNeil came before the Redding City Council asking the council to put on the ballot the issue of Pilot, which is REU paying property taxes, in lieu of property taxes, to the city's general fund. And he said that he was going to bring forward a lawsuit against the city on that issue, but he said he wouldn't do it if the city would put it on the ballot to let the people vote it up or down. Well, of course, council and staff decided not to do that. So in the process of his putting together the lawsuits, there was a group put together called Fee Fighters. And it was supposedly probably at the end of it, the Fee Fighters might have got $50 or $100 out of it. It was hard to say how the whole thing was going to work out. Well, as was going on...
Concerning the Pilot program?
Concerning Pilot. So as was going on, I ran in 2008. I was not planning to run in 2010 up until the time to sign up. So when this Fee Fighters was coming out, my wife, who built her home before she and I got married, so the REU account, utility account, was in her name, she signed up to be a Fee Fighter. And
how many people signed up?
I think there was over 150, 200, something in that general neighborhood. Anyway, to run this forward, Linda signed up on the Fee Fighters. On February the 11th, Mr. Starman and Mr. DuVernay came to me and told me that I had a problem. And so we had a private conversation about the problem, and it was because my name was on the Fee Fighter list. And I said, well, it's not my name. So I had my cell phone, called my wife real quick, and she said, no, she said, back in the day, you and I discussed it, and we decided that we would sign up for it. And I said, you know, hon, I said, you're right. So I said, we are signed up on Fee Fighters.
Which are the best words to use?
Yeah, hun.
You're right.
Yes, the hun part was the best.
Yes, hun, you're right. No, you can say yes, Linda, but the last words are, you're right.
Yeah.
Those are the words to use. I mean, right then. Okay.
Yeah, really.
And then you should have turned on DuVernay and Starman and said, okay, you mean your wife does things that you don't want to do? Okay.
So anyway, Mr. DuVernay says, well, you're going to have to recuse yourself and not participate in discussions or eliminate the conflict. So I said, well, I'll just eliminate the conflict. I'll call Mr. McNeil and ask him what my wife would need to do to
remove her name,
to take her name off the list. And I called him, and Mr. McNeil said, well, have Linda send me a letter that you want to have your name removed. And I said, fine, it'd be no problem at all. Well, everything was moving along rather nicely up until this last meeting. And before the meeting started, Mr. Starman took me aside and said, well, don't shoot the messenger. But the council member that brought this forward wants to talk about it in closed session. And I said, well, it won't be tonight because it's not agendized. You've got to follow the Brown Act. It's got to be on the agenda. And he said, well, we could talk about it. And I said, no. I said, we're not going to do that. I said, Kurt, I said, I'll just take it public. Oh, well, you don't have to go that far. And I thought, well, yeah, you do. I'm not going to let them control the issue. And this is an issue that needs to be out in the public, not just amongst.
So the bottom line is this came out in the paper? Does this come out in the paper or something?
Yeah, it came out in the paper Saturday.
Okay.
And The article, bless her heart, Jenny Espino didn't quite put everything in the article, you know, about where it came from and everything.
If you're from the South, you can say anything about anybody as long as you say, bless her heart,
at the
end of it.
That's very neutralizing.
And I get along with Jenny, you know.
Jenny's okay. Jenny's good. You know, Jenny is...
Does a good job.
She does a good job.
And the council member, who I have a pretty good idea who it is, but and on the number 10 slot on the last meeting, which is a public comment, I had filled out a blue card, Gary Cadd, number 10, Pilot, and handed the clerk. Well, the clerk handed them to the mayor, and there was three cards there. And the mayor looked at the first card and looked at the second card. And when she looked at the third card, she looked at me. She swung over, looked at me in bewilderment. She goes, Councilmember Cadd. So I said, yes, Madam Mayor, and I wanted to talk about the issue and bring it forward. And I started, one of the other council members, mics were off probably, I don't know if it's on the video or not, made a statement, well, he's not supposed to do that now. We're going to talk to him about that in closed session. Well, I went ahead and brought it out in open session so everybody knows about
okay,
it.
Okay, so here, let me synopsize this. Years ago, when they started the pilot lawsuit, there's a group called Fee Fighters, and I remember that. And you could sign up for Fee Fighters if you were getting money or if you were paying your electric bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Fee Fighters, in this case, your wife says, you know what, I'm joining up for this.
We both decided to, yeah.
Okay, so your name's on it too?
No.
Just her.
Because it's her account.
Because it's her account. Okay, but you said, okay, mm-hmm. That's fine, no problem, honey. Well, as it comes up, they find out, well, you know, really, you can't, you know, this is really a conflict of interest. So either you have to keep away from the pilot, you recuse yourself, or Linda has to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Linda says, fine, I'll leave. And Walt McNeil says, fine, you send me the papers and, you know, say, oh, I wish to be taken off. It's because it is a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. I wish to be taken off as one of the plaintiffs. Boom. And then one of the other city council members says, oh, no, this is horrible. We need to talk about this. Who was the other city council person?
You know? Carl, I truly cannot tell you because I have not been told. I have an idea, but I can't.
Who was the one that you said there was a – when the mics were turned off, you said, well, we're going to talk about this during the closed session?
I'd really rather not say that either. It's
you know what? There are a number of things.
Left of the mayor.
Two ladies left of the mayor. So that would be
Mr. MacArthur and one of them. Schrader.
So it's yes. One of them. Okay. You know, one of the things that I found is that this city council is doing a lot of things with passion here. The other night in the DRBA, when the DRBA was not allowed to speak because they said, oh, we're going to table this motion. That was against the Brown Act.
Well, yeah, it broke the Brown Act all over the place.
Okay.
Once something's agendized on that
and it was agendized.
Whether they table the item, no matter what they do to the item, the people have the right. The people have the right to be able to have their 3 minutes say on that issue, and they were not allowed to.
So,
same thing happened back in the marijuana issue back in January.
Okay, so in other words, you're a member of the city council, and you're saying the city council is running rampant over the Brown Act? I mean, this is one of the things that Christian Schrader accused the DRBA of not following the Brown Act. Not that anybody in the DRBA knew they were under the Brown Act, but... And now you're saying is that the city council itself is not following the Brown Act.
That is a true statement.
Wow. Okay. So here sounds like to me is that your wife, you two talked it over. I'm not going to ever use the word permission, but you two talked it over. She says, I want to do this. And she said, fine, hon. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then once you found out that there was a problem there, you probably – did you remember this during this time frame?
No,
or anything?
If we'd have remembered it, either one of us remembered it.
So why is this such a tempest in a teapot? She's taken her name off it, and who cares? I mean, we're not talking about – even if they win, we're only talking about $50. Why is this such a big thing?
Probably have to ask the people who brought it forward. I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, with the other issues we have before us in the city of Reading right now, we have a lot of other issues.
I know.
Why
in the heck are we talking about that? We've got crime. We have unfunded liabilities. We have things going on in the street.
Streets and roads falling apart.
And we're talking about your wife being a member of a lawsuit that she removed herself from. Mm-hmm. And we're spending time with that.
The only one thing I can end with is, Carl.
Okay.
If you want me to.
Sure.
The reason I brought it forward was I was not going to discuss it in closed session. If the council members wanted to know what went on, then the public needs to know what goes on.
Absolutely.
Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent for me or anybody else,
absolutely.
The truth is always the truth.
It would be interesting because there's other questions we like to ask our city council in open session, but of course you can't do it because, you know, I'm starting to almost feel like, and this is strictly business, this is strictly city council things, it has nothing to do with individuals, but I'm starting to feel like there's an imperial city council here. People are being pointed at. People are being shut up. People are going, and are being chastised from on high at the city council without allowing the people they're accusing things of to be able to come back and say anything.
Right.
That, to me, is not democracy. That's not fairness. That has nothing to do with fairness. This is people pointing at people and saying they're doing things.
And remember, Gary's on city council.
Well, hey, you know what?
Well,
if the shoe fits,
yeah, well,
you know,
right.
But I mean, it's the same thing as if you did. If you pointed at somebody, so I just don't want to hear that. I'm not going to hear that. You know, I mean, that is wrong. I mean, I haven't seen you do that. I haven't seen.
Well, you won't.
I've just seen a couple people do that. But you haven't been one of them. Brent hasn't.
Well, thank you for coming in. Like you said, you really believe in transparency, and that is exactly why you're here today, to just like nip it in the bud. You know, you can get up, you can just come right out, come in today to dispute any kind of those dark questions that start to loom behind doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, this seems like, you're right. Doesn't seem like a lot of things to be spending a lot of time.
Well, thank you, Gary Cadd.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Anytime that you have something or anybody in the city council has anything they want to talk about, they're always welcome on this show. I'd love to have people on this show.
Love to have them.
I love to have them on. People love to hear them. They love to hear their reasons for things.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gary. All right, thank you. Thanks for coming in. Hey, go ahead.
I was just going to say is we have our friends from Reading Christian School coming in right after this.
Oh, excellent.
What do you have?
I'm just great. We sent this portion of the show. It's been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Went in last week to see Leonard. They're always moving. They've got a lot of new items in. Thank you so much, Leonard, for his generosity. You donated a beautiful diamond necklace to an event that we've got coming up where your blood being donated is very important. So it's going to be a really cool thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. So we went in to say thank you and introduced Molly to the shop, and it was great. She was like, wow. So right there, he fixed the prong on her diamond ring from her wedding ring that had like a bent prong. She didn't even know it. It's important to be able to have a jeweler that you can trust, and that's Leonard at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive. Thanks so much for all that you do. Give them a call at 222-2750. We'll be right back after these messages on KCNR 1460.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Kathy and I have kind of given up on winter. This warm weather means ethanol-free 93 for all the blowers, weed eaters, and lawnmowers. And start filling those barbecue bottles. We have clear and red diesel at all of our plants. Talk to Sherry if you need CFN or fleet-wide cards, which are accepted over 40,000 locations in the U.S. The delivery trucks are starting to fill tanks for construction and loggers who are starting back to work. So give Danny a call. Northern Lights Energy. We deliver all the products that we sell, or you can pick up at the plant at three locations. Johnny and Bobby got two more used heaters ready to go. If you'd like a free quote, give us a call. Northern Lights Energy, the old-fashioned way, one customer at a time. In Corning, see Robin, Weaverville, see Joe, and Redding, the rest of us. 241-2196, and thanks a lot.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. And Bob Belongi, you always play. You make me remember always how come I just love the gift of music. Yeah. Currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios, 747 on this beautiful Monday. It's the 23rd. Where's March? Wow, here we are. And anyway, Carl, we're excited about having with us in the station this morning, Peyton Black, who plays Annie Sullivan in The Miracle Worker, which is coming up Wednesday night at in Palo Cedro, the Reading Christian School. And Kathy Orr, our director.
Good morning.
And Kathy, you know, thank you so much for what you do. You always have these wonderful productions.
Oh, thank you.
And we have seen Peyton in here before.
Yes.
Beautiful Peyton. Tell us about what's going on.
Well, we are Reading Christian High School and Middle School.
We have a seventh grader who plays our Helen Keller. This is the Miracle Worker, the story of Helen Keller at the very beginning of her introduction to Annie Sullivan and the changes that took place in her because of the determination of Annie Sullivan. And Peyton gets to play that character. And so she can tell you a little bit about her role.
It's definitely a challenge. Oh. There's a lot of physical and emotional and definitely challenging scenes and parts that you have to know. And there's a lot of stress having to deal with Helen Keller.
Well, you know, she was a very willful child. I mean, you know, in true life when she was, because she had no, you know, she was blind, of course, and
deaf.
And deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And so things were just, you know, would, you know, can you imagine that, but, you know, being born like that, but when people come up and touch you, you know, how scary that could be, or not knowing anything. And then here comes Anne Sullivan, who is also really blind also almost, and that has to teach her. And I mean, if you just, I mean, the emotional part of this, I actually, you know, the physical part, we have to hold her down.
Definitely.
Because she's a willful child.
Multiple times.
Yeah. And so, you got your chance here to give her noogies on her head?
No, was Helen Keller almost like a closet child? Like, she was so mistreated.
She was like an animal. She was born sighted. She was born sighted and hearing, and she had a terrible fever. And which plunged her into darkness.
Wow.
And soundlessness.
At what age, though? Was she just a baby, though?
She was pretty young. She was walking and just putting
about
a little bit of conversation.
Right?
In her twos.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She had just said
Wawa, like when she was 6 months old. That was the only thing she said.
Right. So she had a little bit of a context, which is the key Annie Sullivan to find that context.
Okay. And also, you would think about within this child, Helen Keller, that would almost be like a curse. Like she's struggling to get out, to go back to what was that? What's this darkness that's come over me? So I've never seen the stage production, but the movie. Of course, you know, you can never forget the pump scene, the water pump scene, you know, when the breakthrough happens. You almost got tears in your eyes with that. Now, why is that?
It's just amazing that after all of, like, the work and the struggle and all of the heartbreak and the hard times that she was just able to get that one word into her mind and then everything. After that, after one word, everything came into her mind.
Everything fell into place.
Everything fell
into place.
Once
she knew water, and then she knew what she was signing to her.
Right. And a word or two about our Helen Keller, who is a newcomer to anything performing arts. This is a little bit of a testament to her ability to act, do the blind and deaf part, is that I feel compelled to, like, guide her and tell her things, and she'll look at me and go, Mrs. Orr, I can see. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to tell you that because I was afraid you were going to run into that. But she's
a good little actress.
She's a good little actress.
Okay, and so you were afraid she was going to run into something because she's
believable.
She's believable.
All right, so we're talking about the Reading Christian School Performing Arts Department presenting The Miracle Worker in the Reading Christian School Gymnasium in Palisadro. That begins March 25th through March 26th, and then again Friday, March 27th at 7 p.m. Tickets through the school go 547-5600. That's 547-5600, or at the door, they're $5. It's just so wonderful to see these local productions. Peyton Black, you're playing Annie Sullivan again. What has this meant so far? You haven't gone live yet, but during learning this part, discovering the character, I'm sure when you go into school or just at home doing mundane things like brushing your teeth or whatever, mm-hmm. What has it brought to you so far?
As in, like?
Lessons, learning, what you've, I'm sure it's brought another dimension to your life, but what would that be?
Incredibly thankful. Like, seeing or experiencing having to take care of someone who's blind and deaf and has no communication with the outside world whatsoever, you just have to be really thankful for that, what we have, and that we're not, or us, I'm not blind and deaf, and that I can do normal things without struggling, and that I can...
You take things for granted.
Take everything for
granted.
The
other thing, too, is Helen Keller went on to become a very famous...
Very successful
woman. And all from Anne Sullivan, who didn't give up, even though she could have.
Right.
But Helen Keller then went on to help so many other people.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we look at these physical, what we think is physical limitations. But it's your mind and your heart that go so far beyond that. And things that you see is that I'm blind, I've lost my legs. This is maybe a small example, but a young man who's Dancing with the Stars on TV. He's a Army veteran, lost his left leg above the knee and his left arm is dancing.
Wow.
I mean, the courage it takes to do that.
Because he only has the, can't get the one knee, you know, of course. Now, going to Kathy or our director, Kathy, how many, what would this be as far as, what number production?
Many. And I work with a very talented lady named Janet Henry, who began the program at RCS 20-some-odd years ago. And about 5 years ago, kind of stepped in and started, you know, putting a hand in and really enjoying the process. But I've been at Reading Christian now for 17 years and have done productions ever since. And, you know, when you say Reading Christian School Gymnasium, people think, oh, but you will not believe the transformation that has occurred in that building to create this. And we have to deal with terrible circuitry, but we've figured out all the LED psych lighting, so we have beautiful red sunsets, we have beautiful, and the talent of these kids, we had a student design this amazing tree for the back.
Wow.
So the kids have really put in their production time, their construction time, and it's a whole gigantic process that the kids are involved in from start to finish.
Well, we attended a wonderful play there that was Tom Sawyer.
Oh, that was 2 years, a couple of
years
ago.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. And you're right, the gymnasium is completely transformed. I think you were you in that show?
I was not in Tom Sawyer.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's a little before her time.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be a little young.
Yeah, I think Sam and Chris were seventh graders, so it's been
about
5 years.
Yeah, I'd be in about fifth grade.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
We have good friends that attend, you know, the Reading School, Christian School. I think it's a fantastic program. And again, go get your tickets, 547-5600. That is Wednesday, opening night is this Wednesday, March 25th, and then again March 26th, Friday the 27th at 7 p.m. Go support local theater. Closing thoughts. We have about 5 minutes here. Let's start with our little actress.
Closing thoughts. Well, I think that the cast has been put in, like, an enormous amount of work into everything. Like, it has maybe been one of the most stressful months in the year for me, and it's going to be worth it. I'm so excited. I
would think so. You have the lead in The Miracle Worker. Okay, that's like, yeah, that's a big deal, plus
someday,
trying to learn math.
When your grandkids are bouncing on your lap, you know what? The turning point of my life.
I played Annie Sullivan.
I played Annie Sullivan.
I know how to do this.
This is why you see the three Oscars up on Granny's, mantle there.
So,
you know, the other thing, too, with Kathy is there any time, Kathy, that you sit there during any of your, not necessarily this play, but any play, and you just go, oh, man, this is just not going to work.
Oh,
every single time.
Is that right? Every time?
Every single time. And my poor administration will tell you that I say, okay, can we get everybody their money back? Can we?
You do that?
I do that.
You and Linda need to hang around. Because every time Linda goes out to sing, I know on that day she goes, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I haven't practiced enough. I got blah, 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 blah. And I just sit there and I buff my fingernails.
You want everyone to have a great experience.
I sit as the director. My main job is to be the audience and a sort of a hypercritical audience. Mm-hmm. And I don't want these guys to do like Average Joe Children's Theater. That drives me insane. And I'm a terrible audience member. So when I watch them, I want amazing. I want to cry. Mm. I want to laugh. I want to have goosebumps. And I'll tell you what, even in some of our worst rehearsals with this production, I have.
Wow.
We had three adults in the room who were doing costumes and props and things in tears.
Mm.
And so even when they're sort of messing up, that's a tribute to the script. The script is beautiful.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, everybody, here's a chance, you know, to go see just a great play.
It's The Miracle Worker at the Reading Christian School.
$5 to go there.
$5.
To go down and just see it. Of course it's worth it. It'd be worth it for any amount of money here. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, supporting local theater is good. I mean, it's just good for the community in this. So it's going to be this Thursday. I'm sorry, it starts this Wednesday. This Thursday.
Tomorrow.
And Friday. And then it goes... that's it. Just as Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, March the 25th, 26th, and 27th at 7 p.m. then have a great time.
Give a call at 546-5600 or at the door, $5.
547. Okay.
547-5600. Thank you. Thank you. No, 547-5600.
Well, thanks, Andy. Just correcting everybody.
Yeah, no,
just
listen,
come over
they
here.
They want to get those tickets. Fill the seats.
Oh, did you learn signing for this?
I did. I had to learn sign language.
Did you?
I did.
That'll take you through life.
Yeah, it will.
You'll always have that.
No, no, that's something else that's just incredible, too. So you learn sign language. Okay. Yeah. We've got to take a break here. We're going to have the news. We've got a young doctor coming on that wants to talk about what happens when you have $500,000 worth of medical
school
bills, you know, in as you practice medicine. You know, there's a lot to be said about this. We'll be right back after the news. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's 8 o'clock in the morning on March the 23rd.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz making it official this past hour at Virginia's Liberty University. He says he will run for president in 2016, and that, he says, could lead to some big changes.
Imagine in 2017, a new president signing legislation repealing every word of Obamacare.
And Cruz making his announcement just minutes ago in Lynchburg, Virginia. Professor Larry Sabatone, director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, says it was a wise choice of a venue.
This will strike people, but for two reasons. You're going to have thousands of people cheering, and they're all going to be young. That's unusual for Republicans these days.
The 44-year-old Cruz will be the first high-profile candidate to formally launch a White House bid, although several GOP contenders are expected to throw their hats into the ring soon as well. With an end-of-March deadline approaching for a nuclear deal with Iran, a number of lawmakers are weighing in on Capitol Hill, as Wally Hines explains.
367 members of Congress have sent a letter to President Obama detailing what they call grave and urgent concerns. While expressing hope that a diplomatic solution can be reached, the letter says that verifiable constraints must last for decades. It also restates that any attempt to lift sanctions will require new congressionally approved legislation. The letter, signed by the top Republican and Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee, along with 365 others, followed a day of congressional hearings into the negotiations.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. U.S. home sales remain sluggish. It's the result of tight inventories, affordability problems, and the recent nasty winter weather. The National Association of Realtors says sales increased just slightly in February, up by 1.2%. On Wall Street right now, a mixed bag. The Dow is up 42 points, and NASDAQ down by about 5. This is SRN News.
Little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-961-6303. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-961-6303. 800-961-6303. That's 800-961-6303.
The Senate is getting ready for a vote-a-rama this week over the GOP budget proposal. SRN's Linda Kenyon reports.
Senators can offer an unlimited amount of amendments to the budget blueprint, and they're going to have to hold back-to-back votes on each and every one of them. Democrats say they plan to use these votes to send a clear message about what they think is wrong with the GOP budget. The budget is non-binding, and it is not signed by the president.
That is SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. Republicans have added an amendment to boost war spending to $96 billion. That is an effort to match it with the budget plan that was offered by House Republicans. The Supreme Court has turned away an appeal from a convicted murderer who has spent more than 30 years on death row in Texas. Lester Bauer facing execution next February for the fatal shootings of four people in an airplane hangar on a North Texas ranch clear back in 1983. Bauer says other people were responsible. He also says executing him now would be cruel and unusual punishment. This is SRN News. Big change of policy all of a sudden at Starbucks. The baristas will no longer be riding a race together on the cups they hand out to customers. Brand strategist Scott Ehlert says Starbucks faced an overwhelming backlash for its campaign.
Not every day or even every year that a large corporation the size of Starbucks takes on such a prominent social issue. So I think it's really hard for people to kind of wrap their head around it.
In the campaign, it sparked widespread criticism in the week since it took effect. A Starbucks spokesman says it was always the plan to phase out the Riding on the Cups program in just a week's time. Even though spring is a couple of days old now, there's more than a foot of snow in some parts of the north-central U.S. Some schools in Wisconsin and Minnesota are closed today as snow plows hit the streets. The National Weather Service measured 15 inches of snow in the Wisconsin community of Fenimore just a week ago. Temperatures hit the 70s in some of those same spots. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is Monday, the 23rd of March. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning to everybody in the chat room, Angel and Sungold and Joe and Onion Grower, and it just goes on and on and on. 8:07 in the morning. And we have weather today with Linda.
Yeah, it's currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios. Our forecast calls for about 40% scattered showers throughout the day with our highs around 61. Showers likely tonight with temperatures around 49. And a Tuesday, it looks like we have around 64. Again, showers Tuesday night. We go down with our percentage to about 20%. Wednesday calls for mostly sunny. We pop all the way up to 80 on Wednesday. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And let's go to the phones. Terry, what is happening tonight?
Hey, how are you two doing?
We're great. How about you?
I'm great. I couldn't be better.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
The fun never stops, my friend.
You couldn't be better? You couldn't be better?
It couldn't be. Maybe, I have Taco
Linda. Like, maybe need a haircut or anything like that?
Well, when I get a haircut, I get it. I don't know if I should say this or not, but I usually get my haircut by a beautiful woman while I'm drinking some nice Cabernet.
That's where a real man gets his haircut.
So Rally Sally.
That's where a real man gets his haircut. A beautiful woman that cuts your hair. That's not around cigar smoke and magazines, buddy.
There's no cigar smoke in Cypress Square Barbershop, buddy.
I'm just joking.
I know you are. Okay Terry,
anyway,
what's happening tonight?
Tonight at the tea party, hey, city council, huh? What, Gary's saying they broke the Brown Act again, huh?
Well, that's what he said. That's somebody from the city council saying that.
They have a gift that keeps on giving, aren't they?
Yeah, I think maybe we ought to. No.
Jenny,
check that one out, Jenny. Yeah.
All right, so Terry, continue.
Sorry. Okay, anyway, tonight we're going to talk about what a mitigation bank is. And everybody in Reading over the next couple of weeks needs to know what that is. And also how the environmental regulations are being used by, well, even by counties in some areas to extort money.
Mitigation banks. Isn't that where you have to trade? Well, anyway, you're going to have the class.
Yeah,
we'll have
an expert talking about that. But the whole thing is that there are just so many things that are coming down the pike, my friend. It's going to be really something. Anyway, tonight at 6 o'clock at Destiny Fellowship Church, 2570 Bonneview Road. But, you know, folks, if you're out there, you need to come tonight and learn about mitigation banks, environmental regulations to extort money from you, you know, because the government's doing that. We seem to have this trickle-down tyranny, don't we, my friend?
Well, you know what? It starts at the top.
That's right, trickle-down tyranny.
All right. Thanks a lot, Terry. That's tonight, 6 p.m. And by the way, listen to our guest today. You want to talk about somebody that you're talking about just medicine, and we're talking about medical students, but there's other parts of this, like, you know, I'm going to ask some questions, but one of the things somebody's already written in the chat room is,
once the government, once you owe a lot of money to the government, they can almost tell you where to go to practice medicine.
Yes, they can.
Ooh, what happened to freedom? Anyway, okay, we'll be tonight at 6 p.m.
2570 Bonneview Road,
Deputy
Fellowship Church, 6 o'clock. Learn about mitigation banks. Very important, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks a lot,
always
Terry.
Informative.
8:09 in the morning, and it's March the 23rd, 45 degrees out there.
Oh, with us this morning is Dr. Tyson Adams. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
And you came to our attention from people that we know. Carl, let's get in there with me so you can save me if I'm incorrect in this, that you came to our attention as a doctor practicing in the North State that has accrued these incredible, medical expenses from college.
Yes.
Well,
education loans.
But you are not by yourself. This isn't just Dr. Tyson Adams with this.
No, this is the norm, actually. The norm for people that go to medical school. In fact, really people that go to college at all graduate with a significant amount more debt now than they did 25 years ago.
Absolutely. You used to be able to work your way through school.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about this, talk about the cost of school, because we just talked to a doctor this weekend about this.
Right.
He's with the California Medical Association.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this man knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
So, but before we start there with that, we want to find out about Dr. Tyson Adams.
Right. And good morning and welcome to our show, first of all.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So, Dr. Tyson, let's go back to, like, where did you grow up? I like to find out the backstory of when you decided to go to medical school. When did you get the bug? Were you a science geek? Let's go on with that.
Absolutely. So, I was raised in Lake County, California, sort of a neighboring county here in the North State, and on a farm. And I was sort of a fitness person early and kind of a science nerd, really into computers, mathematics mainly. Mm-hmm. And, but I was a farm boy. So to get to town, it was 4 miles. So I had a bike, or I ran to my friend's house, and he'd ride his bike and I'd run. So I got a job at a gym. One of my clients at that gym when I was about 17 years old was a man named Arthur Beacongaga, who's a general surgeon in Lakeport, California. And he one day leaned in and said, "Tyson, you're a smart guy and you like people. What do you want to do for a living? What do you want to do with your life?" And I said, I don't know, Arthur. You know, maybe I want to work in this gym forever. You know, what does a 17-year-old know? And he says, "You know, Tyson, I think you should go be a doctor." Now, he didn't know that really I was just, you know, a farm boy that got C's, and, you know, I wasn't very serious about anything except for working out and maybe, you know, driving my pickup truck. But that set with me, that stuck. And I think he was recognizing something in me that I hadn't recognized in myself. So that seed took a little while, but I eventually went to community college, which my father was working at the community college at the time and kind of was easy for me to go there. And I was a decent student in college. I was a better student in college than I was in high school, but I was still a little restless. And so I decided that instead of staying in school, I would go and sow my wild oats, so to speak. So I went and fished in Alaska. I went and became a wood boat builder. I worked in the construction industry in the Bay Area. And at some point, the fun of all that sort of wore out. And I took a long, hard look at what I was doing. And I said, you know, I need to be doing something more meaningful with my life. You know, here I am in my early 30s. You know, I want to make a bigger contribution to the world. How can I do that? At the time, I was a really good builder. I was building, you know, high-end homes and doing light commercial and residential remodels in the Bay Area, which are, you know, those are expensive projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured...
Craftsmanship.
Yes, absolutely. And so I thought, you know, maybe I'll start building schools and hospitals and things that are useful for society. So I didn't have a degree. I had applied for some of these jobs and I couldn't get the interview. Now, I knew I could do the job if I could get the job, but I didn't have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to school at night while working full time in construction just to get a bachelor's degree. I got my bachelor's degree from a school that is actually known for education for the military. It's American Intercontinental University. And they had an online project management degree, and I thought, well, I'll do that because then at least it's the checkbox. I can get it.
Right.
I get it done. I don't have to stop working to do it. But I took on debt to do that because I was working. I didn't qualify for any kind of grants. Along the way, I got straight A's.
And this is all online?
It's all online at this point.
Wow. With,
I got straight A's. I might have gotten a B or something, mm-hmm. So I thought, well, this is an online school, maybe it's easier than in other schools. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know because mm-hmm. I hadn't been to school in 10 years or more. But I offhandedly mentioned this to someone and they said, why are you going to school in your 30s? I said, well, I wanted to be a doctor when I was young, but I wasn't quite ready. And they said, oh, you would have been a great doctor. So there it planted the seed again. So I thought, well, I'll apply for some classes. I'll take some classes at a regular school, science classes. And if I do well, then I'll keep on that. I'll make this change. I went to San Francisco State, a post-bac program for 5 semesters.
Okay, so let's take a break there. So you went to San Francisco State.
Yes.
I mean, this is great. We do have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're so excited to hear from Dr. Tyson Adams. And we're going into this wonderful – I asked about the backstory because I'd love to hear the journey of how one decides to become a doctor. And it's a great story from construction to doing boats to, a doctor planting the seed and how the seed's taken time. And boy, do we have a lot to unfold here in the next hour. So stay with us right after these messages. KCNR 1460.
For a tax professional that truly understands taxes and can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. Tom specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. Whether you have a business and want to lower your tax liabilities or are an investor that would like to lower the taxes you pay on your investments, you want an experienced, compassionate advisor like Tom Wood at the Advice Center. Call Tom at 244-7526 for top quality tax preparation, or this month, Tom's offering a free investment review to see if your investments are tax efficient. Call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment review, or any of your tax, financial, or insurance needs, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Call 243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets. So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care. Clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, Call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
Rock and roll all night, every day.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:19 in the morning.
He's that guy here, bobbing his head in the truck, you know. That's me.
Moving my head back and forth, you know, hitting the window. That's me. 45 degrees out there. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by Owens Pharmacy. You know what? Owens Pharmacy. Great people. Second generation right here in town. And they have something that other people don't have. It's called Owens MedSync. That's right. It synchronizes all your prescriptions to be due on one day so that you only have to make one phone call, come in there one time, and guess what? You can't make it that time. Owens delivers to you for free. And here's the best thing. You've got pharmacists that know who you are. They know what your meds are. They're not a big box store that people are moving in and out like the tide. These pharmacists know you. And when he or she sees your prescription come in, if it doesn't look right, if it doesn't match what they know that you've been taking, they're going to check on it for you. Hey, it's that last line of defense. They got your six. Owens Pharmacy, six pharmacies in town. Most of them open 9 to 6 and open another one in Palisadro, I think. So, you know, here's a success story, second generation right there. Hey, our guest is Dr. Tyson Adams, and we're getting the background on Tyson here for a reason. How he got into medicine, got into a little bit later in life.
Yep.
And he's got a daughter.
Yes. And I've got a stepson and a stepdaughter, 21 and 7.
Okay. And so, yep. Okay, and the and so and your wife is also a trained professional.
Yeah,
and she works with substance abuse people.
So she actually worked at the women's prisons in Chowchilla.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah, oh, that's not tough there, huh?
No, she's definitely tougher than I am. She's much tougher than I am. Yeah, she can handle anybody.
Okay, so you were in the Bay Area doing construction, getting your degree, Bachelor of Arts degree, because you wanted to have a degree so you could get these other jobs that if you didn't have a degree, you couldn't get them.
Exactly. I couldn't get the interviews.
Right, couldn't get the interviews. Right. Okay, then what?
So then I applied to San Francisco State. They had started a new post-bac program for pre-medical sciences. It was a 5-semester program, basically to get you all the requirements you need to get into medical school. I applied. I got accepted to the first class of that with that cohort of about 20 other students, or 20 students total. And when you take science courses and you're taking that much that many units in that short a period of time, you cannot work. You start class at 8 a.m. You have lab every afternoon. Construction is a kind of a 7 to 4 or 8 to 5 kind of job. So I had to give it up in order to go to school at San Francisco State. So I did, and I took out loans there too. So I had loans from my bachelor's degree, Bachelor's of Business Administration and Project Management. Then I had loans from San Francisco State, both to live and to go to school. And I think by the time I was done there and actually started applying, I was about $90,000 in debt, which is more than most undergraduates, but it's not more than all undergraduates. I've heard a lot of undergraduates.
Okay, so you finished up your undergraduate with $90,000 in debt.
That's exactly.
Very manageable. Very manageable. Yeah. I mean, it's not something you want to start out with, but
right.
It's manageable.
Yes.
Then you started into medical school.
Exactly. So I actually, because of my age, I was in my early 30s at the time. I didn't want to spend a year of my life applying to medical school, which is often how long it takes. So I applied. You can actually get into some of these overseas medical schools and start the next semester. They all come back to the United States and practice medicine here. I knew I was going to be a small town family medicine doctor anyways. So I knew I would be able to get a residency. About half the residents in our program come from schools overseas. And so I applied to the least expensive school in the Caribbean on the island of Ceiba and was there for 2 semesters.
Where's Ceiba at?
Ceiba is off the coast of St. Martin.
Okay.
Beautiful little island. It was actually the island in King Kong, the movie with Angela Lang, that they're coming up to this foggy island. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh. Population?
And about 1,500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very small.
And the instructors come from all over?
All over the world, yeah. We had.
And they're accredited.
They are. They're accredited in the state of California. It was one of the reasons why I applied there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So that. So you went to school there?
Two semesters. And then the economy collapsed. You know, 2008, 2009, the lending market just dried up, and I wasn't able to get loans. So I came back to – so oddly enough, it was only $30,000 for two semesters there, which for medical school is not so bad, living expenses, et cetera. So I came back to the U.S. and moved in with my folks. I owed them a little bit of money. I remodeled their house for about 6 months. Mom was real happy about the new kitchen. And I applied to medical school here in the States and actually started the exact same semester that I would have started had I not gone to the Caribbean. So it was nice. A couple extra semesters of science behind me kind of gave me a little bit more confidence. So I got in, I applied to about 25 schools. This is sort of a typical story for, applicants to medical school. You apply to about 25 schools and you're lucky if you get into one or two or three. I applied to 25 schools. I got waitlisted at UC Davis, which would have been the least expensive option for me. So I was, applying for their, rural primary care program. And then I got into Toro University, which was the school that was closest to home, which I really don't want to leave again.
What's the name of it?
Toro University School of College of Osteopathic Medicine in Vallejo, California. They have sister schools in Nevada and New York.
Okay.
So it was actually a great education. Tuition, of course, continued to climb every semester, or maybe it was every year. By the end, I think I was taking about $85,000 a year out in student loans, maybe 90, some just under.
And that
90.
Paid for your living expenses and your
exactly. Yeah, medical school is
most of which was the tuition.
Yes, I'd say about half of it was tuition, $45,000 maybe. $50,000. Mm-hmm. I can't recall exactly. I think it's maybe $30,000 a semester. Plus, then you have books, travel, housing. Bay Area housing is $1,000 a month for my rent. You know, over the course of the time, you have to travel to different locations to do rotations in different hospitals. So I spent time in Pennsylvania. I spent time in Riverside County getting some trauma experience. I lived in Turlock for a while. You know, all this moving around, flying for interviews, you have to have a nice suit, still the only nice suit I own. but, you know, it gets expensive. So some of the loans that I took out actually during my undergraduate education, both at, American Intercontinental and San Francisco State were private loans. So they were actually accruing interest over the course of my time in medical school. So by the time I got out of medical school, I think I had about $450,000.
Okay. So we're here with Dr. Tyson Adams. And the reason we're talking to Tyson is that a good friend of ours said, you know what, whose daughter is also in the medical field.
Yes, she's an intern at our residency program.
Right. And he's going through the residency program right here at Shasta.
Mercy Medical Center.
Sorry, Mercy Medical. How he got, and he's not unusual. It's probably some with less, maybe some with more. He came out of medical school and he's into his residency, owing $450,000, but now it's over $500,000.
Right,
With accrued interest. Now, and there's a reason for this. Now, what we're going to talk about as soon as we get back from break, we're going to take an early break, is what, you know, this impact not just on him but our medical system.
Yes.
And the impact on him going to be able to say where he practices medicine.
Exactly. And how he practices.
Yes. And how he practices medicine with this. And we're also going to discuss the fact that where he, you know, with doctors we have talked to over the weekend about this, what they say about this. And is this, you know, the severe impact this is going to have in the future and right now, in the short term and long term. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. The time is 8:28 in the morning here on March the 23rd. 45 degrees out there. It's going to be kind of a cloudy, maybe even a rainy day.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture-retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, April 2nd in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. You'll hear Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and special guest Joe Larson on trombone. Oh yeah, and me, Linda Bott, on vocals. Join us as we swing to some of the best music from the American Songbook, 7 to 9 p.m., April 2nd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, we're not going to take it. The time is 8:32 in the morning, 45 degrees out there. Phone lines here are 605-4567, March the 23rd, Monday. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, right across from Subway. Man's Last Stronghold, a great place for haircuts. Discounts for seniors and veterans. You know, it's just a wonderful place. Go in there, and it's kind of like the Cheers of barbershops. They can probably go in there and even trim Elvin's mustache. What they'll do is they'll get him in there, and they'll take a look at that mustache that Elvin's wearing from our intern, of course, from Simpson. And, okay, how can we trim that? You know what they'll do is they'll take a they'll buy some half and half, and they'll put it, a little brush on his mustache, and let that feral cat come in and lick it off.
Come on, girl.
So that's
you know what? This is what I live with. You know what? You never know what's going to come out of this man's mouth.
There you go. You know what that way he takes care of? Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I don't even say what I've said to him before about people that throw things on their face.
Welcome back to our show. Dr. Tyson Adams is our guest, and it's been a very interesting. We hope that you, if you have a question for the doctor, do give us a call, 605-4567. We're talking about what it is to go through medical school today. And you have gone through with a first degree and then now medical school and the loans that have accrued.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So now we're up to, so now you're in a residency here.
Right.
You want to be a family physician. You want to be a rural physician. You want to stay right here in Redding.
That's right.
Some of the questions that were coming on. He wants to be a primary care physician. This is something he really wants to do. Okay. So the interest on your loan is
loans.
So loans, my loans plural, approximately $42,000 a year as of right now.
Approximately $42,000 a year. Okay. How much a year do you make? If you don't mind me asking.
So my current paychecks have me at a rate of $49,000 a year. But I actually paid taxes on $46,000 last year.
Okay, so
because of when
so
I
you,
got my
so you race. Don't bring home $46,000.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't
I don't.
Because you're paying taxes on that.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, right.
Even though it's low. Okay, because your residents, they treat like slaves and they work them 70 hours a week and then they pay them nothing. Okay, well, I mean, that's your choice.
That's the way it's always been.
It's the way
part
it's
of the
always
training.
Been. That's your choice. I've right. got no complaints. If you don't like it, you go, you stay in construction.
Exactly.
Here's the part that bothers me.
Okay.
Your paycheck doesn't cover the interest.
No,
your,
no, no, not
your
even
total
close.
Annual salary doesn't even cover the interest on
no,
this loan.
Not at all.
Now, do you want the loan to be just forgiven?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, that, see, now people are going, oh, he just wants to have him just forgive the loan because he's be a doctor. Now, you don't want that, though.
No, no, that, no. That's
because you borrowed the money to get through school.
Right, and I'm glad the money was available to me. This
there you
is
go.
My dream, right? I have wanted to be a physician since I was 18 years old, and I'm 42 years old, and it's come true. And I love my job. I go to work every day, and I love it. It's fantastic.
Super.
So,
I like that.
So no. So here's my feeling. There's already a program for loan forgiveness. And here's how it works. You agree to work for an underserved community. You work at a federally qualified health center like Shasta Community Health here in Reading or Round Mountain Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them 10 years of your life full time.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, you make income-based repayments. So it's 10% of your income you pay to the federal loans. And if you do that, you make your payments on time, you work for a federally qualified health center for 10 years, they'll forgive your loans. Well, my income-based repayment doesn't even cover the interest, which means that loan is going to grow to $750,000, $850,000 by the time I am finished with that 10 years. Now, that is if the government doesn't change its mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to assume that the government is going to honor this 10-year loan forgiveness and make that 10% payment towards those loans on faith that they will forgive all that debt.
Mm-hmm.
Later on. Now, I think that's a big leap of faith. However, my feeling is, why don't you incentivize me to work more than that, right? Right now, for me to qualify as full-time, 32 hours a week, 9 months of the year, for 10 years, that qualifies. Well, that's not really working that much. I can work harder than that. I work 70 hours a week now. If I worked 55 hours a week, my family would feel like I was around a lot compared to how I am now, right? So, If you gave me the deduction that a business has, right, a business can actually pay all of the schooling for an employee to go, and that's all a deduction. It comes out of their gross income. If I were paying my student loans out of my gross income, it would incentivize me to work harder, make more money, and pay that money back on my student loans.
So what you're saying essentially is this. Let me use my student loans as a tax write-off.
Exactly.
And I'm paying them back.
And I'll pay them back.
And I'll pay them back because
I'll pay them back fast.
I'll be able to. But let me just write them off like I would a home mortgage, and make it
a business loan. Yeah, which is more what it is. It's more like a business loan than a home loan because my profession is my livelihood. My home isn't my livelihood. It's where I live.
Oh yeah, and it's like we're paying off our business loans here, and it's a write off.
Right,
takes it off
comes
the top.
Out of your gross.
Yeah, it takes it right off the
so
top.
So tell us a typical day or a typical week for you, doctor, in your residency.
So the interesting thing about residency is there's almost no such thing as typical. But you can say that a typical week – so there's a hard week and a not hard week. A hard week is you start your morning at 7 a.m. at the hospital and you – are signed out the patients that are on your service. You take care of those patients during the day. And if you're unlucky, you're on call for 24 hours on the weekend. You come in on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and you leave sometime around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock the following day on Sunday. If you're a little luckier, you have the 24-hour call on Sunday, so you get off at 9 o'clock in the morning and you get to go home and sleep and have a day during the week to do other things.
Otherwise, you just come in after you finish your day, just start the next day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very familiar with that. Yeah, Friday, just two more working days till Monday.
Right, exactly. Two more working days till Monday.
Okay, going back to this, going back to the loans and all that.
Sure.
I see the idea of being able to pay them off. You know, that way the government gets the money back. Or the taxpayers. I should say
the taxpayers.
The taxpayers get their money back.
Exactly.
And then there's money available for the next group that comes up. The
exactly.
part that bothers me is this. Even though that I kind of understand this because, you know, it's like anything. It's done for the right reasons. Okay. So, Tyson, we want you to go work in Round Mountain.
Okay.
We want you because it's an underserved place. You want to be a family physician? Fine. You're going to be a family physician there.
Yes.
And you're going to stay there for 10 years minimum.
Right. Right.
And you're going to pay off if you do this for 10 years and you're paying X amount of dollars, you know, based on your salary.
Right.
At the end of 10 years, that whole whatever's left
right.
goes away.
Right.
They could also say, we want you to go someplace else that you don't want to go. They haven't gotten to that point yet.
They haven't yet.
They give you all these lists of places you could go to because we know some people, this is what they talked about, went to Idaho.
Right.
Love it there. And they've only got like 5 years.
Beautiful
for
state.
for some reason. 5 or 6 years, I thought. Mm-hmm. But they love it because, you know, the kids going to school, you know, blah, you know, they're doing all this.
Yep.
But they're not planning on staying in Idaho, I don't think. The bottom line on this is talking to physicians that when they went through, and they're 60 years old now, when they graduated from medical school, they graduated with no money they owed or little money
yes.
they owed because the cost of – he said if back then the California educational system was wonderful in the sense that you didn't have – you know, it had very reasonable cost.
Yes.
And then it exploded.
It did.
And why did it explode?
So I actually have a few theories about this. I've been reading a lot about this over the last month as I've been kind of getting motivated here. I think part of the problem with our system is that we give money to things that we think are stable investments, and we can give liberally. Well, what that does is it drives the prices up. We saw that in the tech boom, right? So people would start a startup. We'd throw money at them. And all of a sudden, their stock would go through the roof, and then the reality is they had no product, and then they'd fold,
Solarium.
And everybody would lose their money.
Yeah. Solarium.
The same thing with housing, right? So we have houses that are worth a certain amount of money. Even when I was in construction, I was like, how come I'm building a $200,000 house, and it's selling for $800,000? That
right.
doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they were sold two or three times before anybody moved in
exactly.
the house. I remember those.
And that was just because there was a lot of money available. And I think there's an element of that happening in education right now. There are so many loans available to students, and the schools know that they are able to expand their tuition at exponential rates. I mean, tuition is growing at a faster rate than any other sector of the economy. It's, you know, far beyond inflation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there's something else, too, you need to add to this, is when the government guaranteed the loans
yes.
that you saw in a rapid, rapid rise because
that's
now
right.
they were guaranteed by the government.
That's
and
right.
the government was in it. As soon as that started going up, then tuition started going up, but also the cost of doing business where you have college professors making $100,000 a year, not all of them, but a lot of them are, and the president's universities making six figures. And so everything starts going up, including the tuition, to make it pay for it. And then you have the government – once the government got into it. And so now you're into the government really for $500,000, and it's getting more,
yes.
more each year.
That's right.
So at some point – and this is – and it hasn't happened, but will this happen – is will the government be able then to say, look, you are going to go work here, you know, because you have this debt and we need you to work here?
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, they're
pushing definitely for a union here. And I'll tell you, this is my opinion. Tyson wants to be the best family physician he can. Dr. Adams does. As do most physicians want to be the very best they can. Your brother, my brother. At the same time, your cost of your going to school is rising so fast.
Rapidly.
The payments that you're making, especially in the family care, is dropping drastically.
Right.
So you've got a point where you've got to take this one or do this, and you're losing money on patients. Now, you haven't gotten to that point because you're not out there yet, but others are. With Medicare, Medi-Cal, yes. Medicaid, they're losing money on patients. So it's driving doctors
out of private practice.
Out of private practice in HMOs or the concierge.
The concierge.
Where they just take cash. And so this is the danger. Now, you're going to start off, and everybody knows it, that, I mean, this is just a fact of life that family physicians don't make as much as a specialist.
As anyone else.
Right. So, yeah, well, that's true. But we need family. We need good family physicians. We need you guys.
We do.
But we're not, you know, but the pay is so low that you're never going to get out of the loans, which forces you to do certain things.
Right.
I know this is just, I mean, we've gotten our medical system, and the one thing about our medical system, as good as it is, the one thing I think everybody agrees on is just too costly.
Yes.
Your yeah. brother was fortunate in the sense that he was able to become an ophthalmologist through the Navy.
Well, he his last 2 years. Well, he signed, got a Navy scholarship, and he was a doctor in the Navy for 3 years,
right.
which finished, it paid for right. his schooling. Then when he got out of the Navy, he went then to the residency school
yes.
For ophthalmology.
I've had colleagues do that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's an, you know, it's an honorable way to go.
It's an honorable way to go. And so my brother, in the 70s, you know, when I'm thinking back on this is that he did come out of school with debt. It may have been. I don't even know what it was.
There wasn't a lot of debt. He talked about it.
But it took a couple years, maybe 2 or 3 years,
right.
in increments to pay that debt off. And yes. In that era, I think it was pretty typical, unless you had, you know, a wealthy family that put you through medical school, that you, even though you're working through medical school, which he did, he had a couple jobs because he also had a family, that he just looked at the fact that the next, he got out, he was going to be paying his loans. And I'm not sure when he actually became loan free because he became an anesthesiologist. So he went to school until he was 31.
Yeah,
gotcha. I just know.
Anyway, okay. Our guest is Dr. Tyson Adams. We're going to take a break here after letting you know
and
that
how
this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. Martin and his associates at Alliance Heating and Air are just outstanding. Any type of heating or cooling system, and let me tell you, while it's 45 right now out there, it's going to be 85 later on this week. And you know what? We just skipped spring. We skipped winter. We skipped spring. We're going straight into heat. How are you going to make sure that your air conditioning system is working? Who are you going to call? Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for emergencies. Our guest, Dr. Tyson Adams, we're talking about the high cost of going to medical school. The fact is that there's ways, you know, and his idea is just let us write it off and we'll just pay it off and the money comes back to the taxpayers. I think it's a great idea. Right now, you're not going to have it. They're talking about ways of forgiving it, which then tells you that a doctor's got to go someplace and serve. They could be backed into corners to do this where we're going to tell you where you're going to go or not going to go. Another way of controlling medical care here in the United States. The time is 8:47 in the morning. We'll be right back.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days. And it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it. And you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Kathy and I have kind of given up on winter. This warm weather means ethanol-free 93 for all the blowers, weed eaters, and lawnmowers. and start filling those barbecue bottles. We have clear and red diesel at all of our plants. Talk to Sherry if you need CFN or fleet-wide cards, which are accepted over 40,000 locations in the U.S. The delivery trucks are starting to fill tanks for construction and loggers who are starting back to work, so give Danny a call. Northern Lights Energy. We deliver all the products that we sell, or you can pick up at the plant at three locations. Johnny and Bobby got two more used heaters ready to go. If you'd like a free quote, give us a call. Northern Lights Energy, the old-fashioned way, one customer at a time. In Corning, see Robin, Weaverville, see Joe, and Redding, the rest of us. 241-2196. And thanks a lot.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, drips, or drops. You've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater. Pure and simple. Naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Currently 47 degrees. It's 8:50 in the morning here on the 23rd.
Did you already talk about you're going to be singing at Wind River a week from Thursday?
Yeah, April 2nd. And in the chat room, yes, Joe Larson is going to be my special guest on trombone. We have Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on stand-up bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums. And it's going to be just a wonderful jazz night. It's free. Just come on in. You know, you can have cocktails or dinner. They have a special menu that night, 7 to 9 p.m. Elements Lounge, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. Come and hang out. 243-3377. Get your reservations because...
They usually fill up.
Yeah, we fill up, so...
You know what? Last time they had a steak and lobster for under $16.
Wow.
And it was good. It was great. Okay, our guest, Dr. Tyson Adams, who is a resident here at Mercy. Doing his usual residency things of working 70 hours a week. And he's got a ton of school loans, you know, 500,000, half a million, which is not unusual. His may be a little bit higher than some, but lower than others. But
yes,
most of his colleagues are at $300,000-$400,000.
Yeah.
He makes enough money to not even pay the interest on the loan, which means the loan keeps – you can't even pay the VIG. You know what?
Right.
If you were in Philadelphia, some guy with a flat nose would come over and smack you about, you know, twice a year. Come in and smack you, threaten to break your fingers if you didn't come up with a little bit more. So you'd have to put your wife to work, your kids to work, and all this just to keep up with the VIG.
Yeah.
Now, his idea is, hey, I want to pay, but – a way of incentivizing people is to just let us use it as a write-off.
Exactly.
And we will pay it all back and we'll, you know, work harder. But now what it is, you can't get loans. Okay, get this. You're a doctor. You're getting ready. You've opened up your practice. And so you and your wife and your child want to go out there. You want to buy a house. And this, by the way, is not just doctors. It could be anybody, nuclear physicists.
Right. Anybody with student loans. This counts against you.
That's right. So you've got $200,000 of student loans and $500,000. You try to buy a house, immediately you're rejected.
Absolutely.
Because of that. So there's got to be a way of handling this besides forgiveness. I don't believe in forgiveness. I mean, unless it's Linda forgiving me all the time.
Right.
But forgiveness for loans. Because, hey, you got into it. You wanted to do this. You wanted to borrow my money.
You signed on the line.
That's
it's
right.
It's my taxes.
That's fine.
That helped put you through medical school.
Exactly.
And you know what? Fine. I am glad you look like a great guy. You look like you care. But I want you to pay it back.
Yes. And that's the agreement I made.
So my grandson, if he needs it.
Exactly.
Can have it.
Exactly. I'm going to need a doctor when I'm old. And I certainly hope the money is there for them, for the doctors that are taking care of me after I retire, and for them to get trained. That's just the contract, societal contract we have with one another through the generations.
What's it going to take to have – this Congress has to change this then, right?
Yes. Basically, there needs to be some serious reform in how education is funded and how loans are managed. Now, there's some ideas out there that I think are – they're okay ideas. And I don't see anything wrong with them per se.
Like what?
Well, lowering the – allowing people to refinance their student loans to lower interest rates. So my student loans on my federal loans right now is 7.25%. I was fortunate. I had my a little bit of money. My wife had some money in a retirement. We were able to buy our home here in Reading. We plan on staying.
And that's for a question other people have. Yes, he is planning on staying.
I am planning on staying here in Reading, California. We love it here. It's a beautiful place. So we were able to get into a home before residency started. The interest rate 7.25%, that's twice what my home loan is. That's twice the interest on my home loan. So when people say, oh, you know, education debt is good debt, that's not really true. It's not good.
It's still debt.
It's still debt.
It's still a payment you have to make every month.
It's still a payment you have to make every month, and it's a high interest payment.
How big a payment do you make every month? Is it all consolidated
on my student loans?
On
my student loans, I actually cannot afford to make a student loan payment at all. My student loan payments, if I were going to pay it off in a 30-year in 30 years, would be $3,000 a month on the federal debt and about $1,000 a month on the
– So what do you do then? I mean, you're not paying it though then. So what happens? It just rolls over? They let you roll it over?
So while you're in residency, you qualify for in-residency deferment because they know that the debt is too high for residents to make
payments
on it.
Because you can't make any money. Okay,
yeah, you don't make any money. So they defer it, but it accrues interest.
It accrues interest.
Exactly.
At a higher rate than you're making during the year.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what?
What do you think is fair?
Rocky Balboa used to beat people up because
of this. What do you think is fair now that you know that, you know, you did take these loans out?
I did,
They just have gotten, like, tripled, quadrupled.
Yes.
And you're willing to say, I'll go work in Bernie or go work in Round Mountain for 10 years of my life because I'm practicing and I want to practice and be a general practitioner, a family practice doctor.
These are nice communities and beautiful parts of the country.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with practicing.
It's a beautiful thing to do because, you know, if you're into healing, it doesn't matter where you are, you're into healing.
Right.
So what do you think if in your perfect world, knowing that you have these loans?
Yes.
What would you like to see happen as far as like bills to be passed or?
I think a bill that would be fair because it would help people with low amounts of loans because it'd be a small deduction that they can make, they can get, or people with a lot of loans, they could work harder and make a larger payment and get a bigger deduction. Just whatever payment comes out of your pocket and goes to a lender for your student loans comes off your gross income.
Just like a business loan.
Just like a business loan. However that is worded is up to the legislators. I am not a legislator. I'm a physician. I have no interest in politics. I'm sort of a one-hit wonder. This is an idea that came up when I was doing my taxes. I said, this makes sense. This solves a lot of problems. It incentivizes people to work harder, make more money. For myself, what I would end up doing is I would end up working, you know, full-time in a clinic during the week. And then I would pick up emergency medicine shifts in these little hospitals all throughout Northern California that are starving for emergency room physicians. And as a family physician, I'm going to do an ER fellowship. We have a new emergency medicine fellowship starting up next year at Mercy Medical Center. I'll do that emergency medicine fellowship. I'll be a primary care physician during the week, and I'll do emergency medicine on the weekends.
That's a pretty well-paying job, too, emergency room physicians.
It's definitely a good-paying job.
That's what a lot of young residents do.
Yeah.
A lot of them do is they'll do that and work or right up as soon as they graduate. We've only got a couple minutes left,
sure.
Tyson. I'm really glad you came in here to talk about this because you're kind of like laying yourself wide open for
this.
And what we're going to do is we're going to get a hold of LaMalfa. And
so Doug LaMalfa is the only representative that I've contacted that actually emailed me personally.
Oh, is that right?
Well, hear that.
Well, then Doug knows about this. But it also seems like this could do something that, you know, everybody wants to talk about doing away with the loans. Let's just forgive the loans. No. That's my tax money. That's your tax money.
That's right.
We don't want to forgive them, but a way of being able to help them pay them back would be great.
Exactly.
Dr. Tyson Adams has been our guest today. He is working on his residency down in at Mercy. He wants to be a family physician and live here in Reading the rest of his life with his wife and kids. And not be shackled.
Right.
You know what?
By anybody but my wife.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even going there. Okay, just because she worked in the prison.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. She's still, look at him. His face is red after he said it.
And so is Eldon's.
Yeah. Eldon turns red when I talk about his mustache. Hey, by the way, and there's a movie called A Million Ways to Die in the West, and they have this mustache song that you need to listen to, Eldon. In fact, I want you to look it up on YouTube, and I want you to play it someday, as long as you're wearing
it. Seth MacFarlane, you can just imagine.
You can imagine from South Park. Okay.
Carl, Linda, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Really appreciate it. It's been a real treat. Thanks
now,
so much.
Now, tomorrow we have an expert on Israel. And you know, with all the things that are going on, and I've talked to him several times, he's going to talk about where Israel came from. I mean, how did it get to be Israel? What happened with the West Bank? What happened with all this? And did you know that for a while, everybody in that area was called Palestinians, including the Jews? It's really interesting. Tune in tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Plus, we got a lot of other things that are going to be happening. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. I tell you what, I hope everybody has a great day. 45 degrees out there. It's going to be a little murky out there. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Back down. Gonna
stand my ground. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. He's the first Republican to make this announcement this year.
Today, I am announcing that I'm running for President of the United States.
Senator Ted Cruz of Texas launching his 2016 campaign at Virginia's Liberty University.
It is a time for truth. It is a time for liberty. It is a time to reclaim the Constitution of the United States.
As President, Cruz says he would fight to repeal every word of Obamacare. The U.S. Supreme Court turning away a challenge to Wisconsin's voter identification law. Used home sales up slightly last month. The National Association of Realtors says they rose 1.2%, although sales remain sluggish. Also at SRNnews.com, with an end-of-the-month deadline for a nuclear deal with Iran, SRN's